Good morning. How's everyone this fine day? Tell you, the Vacation Bible School has been going along great. And anyone who doesn't know that this whole week that they're having a from 6:30 to 8:30 at night at the church, having a Vacation Bible School, and the kids are having a great time. So if any kids have to be listening, talk to your parents or parents. If you like something for your kids to do the rest of the week, check out Florence Baptist Church's Vacation Bible School. And I know you'll enjoy it. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you, Lord, so much for this time. We get to look at your word. And help me, Lord, to always represent you faithfully and correctly, and you help me and send your Holy Spirit to help me speak through me to show what it is you have for us to understand about these passages. And we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. So, Ezekiel, still in chapter 1, I'm going to take on 7 more verses today, 15 through 22. This is going to be a little bit more about I'll bring up this picture here and do kind of like what we've been doing. So I'm going to talk about these rings a little bit. Yesterday we talked about the cherubim. That's the winged creatures they see there. There's 4 of them. And tonight we're going to talk about the rings. And tomorrow we'll actually talk about God himself up there on top of this picture. This picture is, of course, an artist's rendition. No one really knows. We're going by what we read in the Bible. So I think I'll start off by reading today's passage while we look at this picture. And maybe it'll help us to see, or maybe you can see what I see when it comes to, that seems like this picture kind of represents it pretty good. This one is another one. Let me just show you the other one real quick, just so you get a reference point. Here's another one. The only reason I don't like this one is that the God one. This is actually probably more accurate when it comes to the bottom part. Except that it talks about beryl. And beryl, the color beryl is a little bit more like green. This one kind of shows all fire. This would be more like beryl that you'll see in today's verses. But even here, you see there's a little bit of greenness in the rings. Not a lot, but I think overall, this one, because of the shows the best picture of what this might be talking about. So we'll start off reading just straight through the verses, verse 15 through 22. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his 4 faces. The appearance of the wheels as they work was like unto the color of a beryl, and the 4 had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was it as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their 4 sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them. 4. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went with them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whosoever the spirit was to go, they went thither, was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. That's where we're going to stop today. And let's get in the other verses. I'm going to add to them. And the first thing I'm going to do is do a little review of what we talked about yesterday a bit. And let me bring the picture back over real quick. And you notice that, again, we're talking about rings today. But what we did talk about is over in Revelation 4, how much this looks like Revelation 4 that we're talking about here. And so I'm going to now read Revelation 4, 6 through 9. It talks about the same thing. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. So there's what I call the companion verse in Revelation. Now you figure that Revelation was written about 700 years after this Ezekiel revelation. I want to point out a couple of things too, that some people say, well, John just copied what Ezekiel wrote. Well, think about it. There's enough differences though in their stories to let us know that even though they seem similar, John is describing the throne room in heaven that he's witnessing. And there are slight differences, like the 24 elders are there. Of course, that didn't come from Ezekiel. Ezekiel said nothing about it. But when it comes to the cherubim, which is what those four living creatures are, and they're full of eyes all around, and you notice the creatures have eyes all around, the symbology is very similar, but not exact. So I definitely think there are two different visions. Realize also John's vision was about us being in heaven and witnessing what we're going to see when we get to heaven during the rapture. In this particular vision, Ezekiel is being God is showing him, one, who he is, who God is, and what his mission is going to be. And his mission is going to be to warn the people, as I can see it. And also, basically, the book of Ezekiel is like a really long history lesson and a prophecy lesson of what's going to happen to Israel going forward. And so Ezekiel was taken again as a reminder during the second siege. And that right now that the city of Jerusalem is still standing. They have Nebuchadnezzar put in a puppet king to control. And at first, everything was going fine for about 3 years, from what I read. The king was doing what Nebuchadnezzar wanted, and people were happy, and things were fine. Even though some people were taken prisoner, like Daniel and Ezekiel, most of the people, there were still people left in Jerusalem. So the city wasn't destroyed yet. But Ezekiel was going to basically be telling the people that they are going to destroy the city if we don't repent. And even though Ezekiel's in captivity, I think that God is using him as a visionary to show the people there what's going to happen. So at least during this first phase, he's going to be shown that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And it ends up happening about 11 years later. And so right now we're at a time frame of about 598 BC. And the final destruction happens in 588 BC. And we see that over in 2 Kings 25, 1 through 6. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came in and all his host against Jerusalem and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him. So you can see there that that basically the this is when Jerusalem was destroyed. So I just wanted to point that out. And this happened in 588 BC. So by now it's already been 11 years since this vision that Ezekiel's having. But I just want to give you an idea of kind of the time frame. So I can see this vision is showing, it's one thing that's going to be showing Ezekiel what's coming to pass, that God is in command. And even though God is going to be passing judgment on Israel, God can use rulers and stuff on this, on even if they're not, they may not know that they're actually doing God's bidding. So Nebuchadnezzar is doing this, and he's not necessarily, because Nebuchadnezzar believed in false gods, you know, like the gods of silver and gold, and that they worship these idols. But here God was still able to use them to for punishment on Israel. So now into the main text we're going to talk about. Ezekiel 1:15. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creature with his four faces. I see a similar vision coming up in chapter 10 of Ezekiel. That's going to be very similar. And when I looked, behold, this is Ezekiel 10:9. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels were as the color of beryl stone. And beryl stone, like I mentioned before, is actually it's a pale green color. So it this is also very similar to Daniel's 7:9. Daniel also were having visions during this time frame in Babylon. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels are burning fire. That's kind of where you got that other picture that I showed you a little bit. This one here, kind of showing the flaming fire. So this is more like a little bit more like the vision in 10. You can see the wheels are similar in both visions. And another thing that interesting to note is Daniel was taken captive in 608 BC. So he's been in Babylon. He actually went into as a teenager, and he was in training for 3 or 4 years to learn the Chaldean language and to become he worked in the court, in the king's castle, and as a eunuch. Eunuch is the word I was looking for. And that they were taught the best of the science and technology, and they were actually put into almost like a regular high school type scenario. And so during 3 or 4 years, they were in training, and that Daniel, when we get to Daniel, we'll see this, that he had learned and was seeing visions himself during the same time frame. So Ezekiel and Daniel are probably separated. They never met each other, according to scripture. And so you can see that they're seeing similar visions even during the same time frame. Okay, verse 16. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and their four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I couldn't help but think about it. You know, the more I looked at these, and the more I think about it, If anyone's ever heard of a gyroscope, but let me show you. Here's a picture of a gyroscope. And you can see how it looks similar. And interesting thing about gyroscopes is that they have this uncanny ability. That center wheel in the middle, the one that's weighted, spins at a constant speed. And what happens is that because it does, it maintains orientation of the gyro, so that it's particularly used in aircraft to tell what kind of orientation they're in, whether they're straight or if they're sideways or upside down. And it has an uncanny ability to maintain orientation. And that's exactly what these wheels seem to be doing when, as described by these verses, that they're maintaining proper direction. And we're going to see a few verses that kind of point to this. And also one other thing, I think as you can see in this, is that so the appearance of the wheels and their work was like under the color of a barrel, and their forehead one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. As we get further along, we get to verse 17, it talks about it. I want to mention the barrel verse here in Exodus 39, 13, and 14 about the stone barrel. It was also one of the stones in the priest's garb for the high priest. And the fourth row, a barrel in onyx, a jasper, they were enclosed in the ounces of gold in the enclosure. And the stones were according to the names of the children of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Every one of them, his name according to the 12 tribes. So these stones all had names. And I couldn't find, I meant to try to look even further, but I couldn't find out which stone the barrel represented, but it might have an influencing factor on this whole thing too. But I'm sure we're gonna come into this again when we get to chapter 10. So I'll try to remember to do that. Okay, on to Ezekiel 1:17. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. This is kind of a kind of showing us that they maintain orientation. In other words, that they always stayed straight. They didn't turn. They turned not when when they went. And so that I get a hint from this verse that their main job was to keep straight ahead, to maintain orientation. And because it looked a lot like a gyroscope, it kind of reminded me of a gyroscope. Now, verse 17 here, over in Isaiah 55:11, talks about this a bit. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whichever I sent it. So I think symbolically, this is telling us that once God speaks, that nothing is going to change, and that His word is true, and that it's always, it doesn't return void. We'll see this also in Ezekiel 10:11. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked. They followed it. They turned not as they went. In other words, they maintained orientation. They kept going straight ahead. Okay, Ezekiel 18. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So there's four sets of rings, and there's eyes all around. And I kind of see this as the eyes of the all-knowing God, that he sees all and knows all. There's some verses that kind of support this. It's over in Proverbs 15:13. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees all and knows all. A little story that Chuck Missler likes to tell about Grandpa and his grandson. And his grandson comes running up to him one day, and he's talking to him, and he says, Grandpa, is it true that God sees, knows everything that I do? And Grandpa, you know, being wise, and turns around to his grandson and says, son, God loves you so much that he can't take his eyes off of you. I think that's a great way to think about it, is that God loves us so much that he can't take his eyes off of us. And that's so true, that he cares that much for us. We're also over in Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zebul. When these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. So the Lord is everywhere at once. That's, he's omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing. And so that there's no place on the planet that he doesn't have his eyes on. That may be symbolically what this really is all about, is these gyroscope-looking devices. Also over in Revelation 4, 6 through 8, it talks about this also. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Even though it doesn't mention the rings, it does kind of describe that these beasts full of eyes that were associated with the four beasts that we've been talking about this whole time. The lion, the man, the ox, and the eagle. Continue in Revelation 4, 7. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. Calf and an ox are similar animals. They're a workhorse. The third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Okay, Ezekiel 1:19. When the living creatures went, the wheels went with by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels went lifted up. So it seems like these living creatures and the wheels are tied together. One picture I saw actually, it almost probably may have looked like the creatures were inside the wheels. None of the pictures I had kind of showed that, but you can almost see and envision that based on this verse. But again, back over to Ezekiel 10, very similar passage in 10:16. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, and the same wheels also turned not from beside them. So they're always straight ahead. They're always with the cherubims, and they always went straight towards wherever the Spirit led them. Also in Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. So again, this is I think this is the whole premise here, is that what God is trying to show Ezekiel is that I'm going to, you know, that I need you to follow me and to follow me faithfully and not sway, not be pulled off course, to head straight, keep your orientation towards the Lord. Okay, verse 20 and 21. Whosoever the Spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So here it also kind of describes that these living creatures were in the wheels. So it seems like these two visions are tied together, which even makes the symbol of the gyroscope even more interesting, that these creatures were actually inside the gyroscope, which actually there's a carnival ride similar to that. I didn't get a picture of it. Maybe I will later, but there's actually a carnival ride. You can ride a gyroscope, and it spins you all around inside. I didn't want to get too far off the what it's saying here in the Bible. But I saw that when I was looking up that gyroscope picture. When these went. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. So again, at these things seem to be tied, the wheels with the four living creatures. And I think it's important to know that if they follow his guidance, in other words, that they go wherever they, they're being told, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Over Ezekiel 1:12, we saw this also. And they went every one straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. They went and they turned not when they went. So it was like that. They never lost their orientation, in other words. That's kind of how I read that. And Paul over in 1 Corinthians 14:32 mentions it something similar. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So, so this might be very symbolic also of the mission of the prophet was to, you know, to let the people know. And something about a prophet, you might not know that in that time frame, that if a prophet was ever wrong, one of his prophecies didn't come true. Let's say that usually the first few that if God was really using him, their prophecies would always come true. And in this case, it's going to. Jerusalem is going to get destroyed. But if it ever, and that, after that point, after he's identified as a prophet, if he ever says a prophecy that does not come true, they were to be stoned to death. So kind of give you a big example not to make things up, to make sure it's of the, of God. So I mention that only because it seems like that more and more we're hearing more and more people that have heard this or that from the Lord, and which I'm saying is not necessarily untrue, but you got to test the spirits and make sure that they're true, but with the word of God. Because one thing Ezekiel did not have was the word of God yet. Realize that he might have had the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, or maybe not. Maybe we'll find out as we go along. But he may be learning all this about God for the first time right here in his vision. But he was a priest. No, I take that back. He was a priest. His father was a priest. So I'm sure that he knew the Torah. But that was only the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then this, this particular session off, I found a really neat verse in Zechariah that kind of puts all this into place. It's in Zechariah 6, 1 through 8. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. And the mountains were, I want you to make note that there was four chariots. They came out between two mountains, and the mountains were made mountains of brass. Whenever you see brass, it's talking about judgment. So that these, in this particular vision by Zechariah, he's talking about judgment is coming in the four chariots. But you notice there's four of them, just like we got in this. And the first chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses. The third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, the white go forth after them, and the gristle go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. They cried upon he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. So I could see that that it was a reference to this verse 22 in my reference Bible, and it made a little bit of sense that how the spirit is in the four corners of the earth, and we talk about the old seeing eyes; they see all. And the fact that they are talking about the four directions kind of indicates to me that these four entities we saw here in the vision were actually the four spirits from the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. So I got a feeling that that might be what one of the symbolic reasons for this. But we'll continue to investigate Ezekiel and see where he goes from here. What we'll take a look at tomorrow is that that final phase of this chapter, if you want to read ahead, which talks about the throne itself that's above the glass. So on that note, we'll say a prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord, so much for this chance to read your word and to take a look at it and try to understand what this vision is and how it applies to our life, Lord. And may you continue to send your Holy Spirit to us to help us understand these words and help me to understand, to be able to teach them. And I thank you and I praise you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.